November 27, 2018, Sussex County Council meeting.
Limping along.
As you can see, we're missing a couple people today who are sick, so some things will be deferred today.
A few people.
Just so you know, one's on vacation, two are sick. This is not us demonstrating a buffer ordinance. This is just what it is. First and most important, approval of the agenda.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I do have one recommended change to today's agenda. We can strike executive session and possible action on executive session items.
And motion to amend the agenda.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you. Next thing, everybody get a chance to read the minutes of November 13th? Any questions, corrections, concerns? They'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have several letters thanking council for grants, and they are from the YMC of Delaware, also for the Clothing Our Kids, the Woodbridge High Junior ROTC, the Read Aloud Delaware program, Ronald McDonald House, the Ark of Delaware, Westside New Beginnings, Inc., Delaware Guidance Services, and Community Resource Center. And that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Mr. Guy, public comment. You have a list for us? Thank you, sir. Paul Rieger.
Good morning, Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown, Delaware. After the county council elections, with Mr. Hudson being council-elect, that's going to leave open the planning and zoning seat that he's vacating. When that comes up in January, why I'm bringing it forward now, because I don't want to wait to the last minute. Now, right now, there is three R's, one I, and one D on there. The last I was the last appointment by Mr. Arlett, changed from a Republican to an independent right before, which I guess is okay. But when it goes forward for that seat, I would like it to be replaced with a D so we can have a little bit, at least have what the state says pretty close, no more than three of one party or holding it, or however, get the propriety or the appearance of having it. Fairness in it, where you have three Democrats or two Republicans, one I, but have the appearance of being a part of the whole county in there. It should really go a D versus an R in the planning and zoning coming up. It's just as forward going forward also too. It's like it's an all Republican county. I'm Republican, but it comes through the thing too, where if you're getting to a point of just appointing anybody now, just have them change a public affiliation to an independent, and they can be elected. So, say 15 years from now that it's an all Democratic board, county council, they could change all the boards just to eyes and come through, and the precedent would be set. So I'd like to make a strong recommendation that you look for a qualified Democrat from that area, or however it works, to bring the balance back. Also, too, is the last time I spoke last month, when I was bringing up the size of different facilities versus under Board of Adjustment, and I says one thing, usually it's a two-part process, one set of one thing, one set of another thing. Well, the one that I was speaking about at the moment, and then just went through Board of Adjustment hearing, it seems like it's a never-ending saga. You read an article in the paper, now the front lots was the MR that was approved for townhouses or whatever it was under that. And then you read in the paper that may or may not want to be intermediate housing or something that falls underneath that new definition in the commercial code. it just seems like we're the can of worms. This just proves how far the can of worms is opening, that it's not just one simple thing, that it's expanding and expanding and expanding and being taken advantage of with the size of the projects and getting them through. It's complicated with the stupid definitions and everything and trying to get it all to make sense. But you really should, going forward, I know you said you wanted to put it off for a later date, which may come, but that should really, while it's on the table, be discussed a little lot sooner than later. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Dan Kramer?
My name's Dan Kramer. I agree. Board of Planning and Zoning opening should be advertised and have whoever wants to apply and you pick the best man or woman. I don't care what they are because they're all worthless. But anyhow, that's beside the point. One thing about it, it's awful funny. Cabbage Head Cole ain't here today. And that's the best news I've heard all week.
But we surely know you're asking for him. Marty Ross.
If you want to say something to me, speak to me to my face.
What?
Don't wait till I turn around.
Well, how about facing me right now, then? I'm going to speak to you, okay?
Yeah.
We'll make sure Mr. Cole knows you were concerned about him.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he's already listening.
My name is Martin Ross. I live at 16366 Whitesville Road, Delmar, Delaware. I take it that Mr. Cole was sick today. I
think. He is.
It's unfortunate. This time of year, everybody catches the flu or cold or something. First, I want to speak to affordable housing. I've been listening to that discussion with some interest. I don't consider myself an expert, more of a student. But it seems as if the council is going down a path attempting to address...
Can you speak up a little bit? Yeah.
Of attempting to address this issue by continuing the strategy of pursuing affordable housing projects. This approach has been unsuccessful in satisfying the demand for affordable housing in the past, but it's been very successful in financial segregation. I realize the problem is complicated and encourage the council to utilize the flexibility within a comprehensive plan to pursue an integrated approach. I suggest the county form a work group after the first of the year, to identify modifications to ordinance that would allow for impactful and integrated solutions. I understand the county has got an RFP out for a consultant in this regard, and I think the consultant would benefit greatly by incorporating comment from different interested parties to see what may work differently in Sussex County as opposed to simply putting a boilerplate in from some other area. Second, I want to speak to the projected residential growth in the 2018 comp plan. The projected number is a bit over 20,000 according to the State Office of Land Use Planning, which includes permanent and seasonal residents over a 27-year period. So an increase of 20,000 new homes over a 27-year period. That's only about 740 new residential units a year over that 27-year period. Yet this year to date, we've already issued 2,350 in 1 year. It seems implausible to me that this number would hold up over time, and I would suggest that the county council deal with this number with a great deal of skepticism and monitor it very closely and probably plan for a lot greater growth than what's included in the current plan. Last, I'm requesting the council to reconsider its decision to remove the AB overlay areas. I realize the assistant county attorney, Mr. Robertson, to my right, has advised you that the current language in the present draft is sufficient to address this need. The other thing I can say is I don't know if that's just a good attorney with bad advice or if that's just the will of the council. As an example of why it's bad, let's review the Clean Bay Energy Project. This value-added agricultural and renewable energy project became a land use headache, not because of the worthiness of the application or the land use compatibility, but because the county simply had no place that allows for it without a lengthy application process. One of the key points in the business community throughout the comprehensive plan review was the issue of speed to market because of lengthy land use application processes. We cannot expect companies with interest in processing food and fiber to wait for months and spend tens of millions of dollars in order to find out whether or not Sussex County wants them here or not. The AB overlay areas were created to provide a path towards resolving this issue. Step one was creating the overlays themselves, and step two would have been adopting ordinances for applicable use within them. The language in the comp plan does not achieve step one. So the message we are sending to agricultural investors throughout the United States and internationally is that we view agriculture with indifference. Value-added agricultural business is the backbone of Sussex County. Crop production accounts for $1.7 billion. Value-added business accounts for $2.2 billion, and these are in cash receipts. If you just use a modest economic multiplier of 8, and most would use 8.5, that's over $31 billion worth of economic activity to Sussex County. And these numbers don't even begin to reflect on the industry's positive impact on land use. Those value-added businesses preserve a lot of land by their existence. If it is the intent of the council to treat this industry so casually, then that's so be it. And I realize there will be some that argue that you can't put the AB overlay zones back at this late date. And I would argue that if the council wishes it so, it will be. And if it doesn't wish it so, it will not be. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Robert Viscount.
Robert Viscount, 33647 East Hunters Run, Villages of Five Points, Lewis, Delaware. I'm representing the concerns of about 65 people actively involved in evaluating the impacts of multiple land use projects in the area. A couple of the advocates are with me today. I appreciate the opportunity to share recent experiences and learnings and frustrations for what I consider to be procedural errors and gaps involving changes to land use rights. I'm asking for council's help to assess and make process upgrades as needed for the following two items. The first matter relates to inadequate public notice and access to information. There's a common agreement that the yellow public notice sign is the most effective way that a community becomes aware of a land use zoning matter. We recently experienced a situation on a Board of Adjustment case where the yellow public notice sign was posted on a land parcel that is 1,000 feet off of a highly traveled secondary road with no visibility to the public. The sign was only accessible on the gravel entrance road leading to the property because the parcel is a flag lot. The direct adverse consequence was no community awareness of this case and virtually no public participation in a recent public hearing. While the letter of the law was met, the spirit of the law clearly was not, and the public was disadvantaged. Additionally, during the day of this case's public hearing, a large binder of information prepared by the applicant was delivered to the board members. I have a copy here. The board showed the binder and tabled the case, acknowledging that they were not able to read the large amount of material prior to the hearing and needed more time. Since the information binder was only available on the day of the public hearing, public opponents similarly did not have reasonable access or time to obtain, read, understand, research, and comment on the information in the binder. Tabling the case resulted in the record being closed, prohibiting further public comment to be considered. I do not know how frequently these types of things occur, but in this instance, these two matters created a compound disadvantage to those opposing the case and undermined the credibility of the public hearing process. Now that the case is closed, there is no opportunity for further public input. I'm asking for council's help to have the relevant procedural issues reviewed and process improvements made to remedy the obvious inequities that can occur. In a scenario where such a case is approved, my feeling is that the opposition should not be put in a position to bear the cost and burden of requesting either a hearing or a rehearing or an appeal, given the obvious nature and significance of these errors. Second item, I'd characterize the second item as a land use loophole. I understand that assisted living facilities are now classified as permissible uses on commercially zoned C4 property. Presently, there is an easy option for developers to change land use rights and build these facilities on land that is zoned AR1. This option allows developers to continue using the Board of Adjustment single-use exception for AR1 property, which provides a less rigorous shortcut and a means to circumvent the due diligence that is prudent and necessary in land use changes for land use changes involving larger facilities and projects. I'm asking Council to consider engaging relevant resources and leaders to eliminate the single-use exception for these projects and require developers to go through the standard two-step zoning change process that involves both the P&Z Commission and County Council. Such a change affords the public a less fragmented and more holistic oversight framework, especially for larger projects that have significant adverse implications to neighboring communities in more densely populated and traveled areas. So, thank you for the opportunity to share these concerns today. I'm confident that you will give thoughtful consideration to the above issues and the improvements that are needed. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Next, we have a consent agenda with four items. Wastewater Agreement Number 1064, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Middle Creek Preserve Phase 1, the Anglewood Neck Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater Agreement Number 1032-1, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Lewis Crossing Phase 8, Plan Approval and Construction Record of the West Rehoboth Expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater Agreement Number 990-5, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Ocean View Beach Club, Phase 3B of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District, and Wastewater Agreement Number 638-19, Sussex County Project Number 81-04, the Estuary, Phase 2-1 construction record of the Miller Creek Sanitary Sewer District. Any questions on those? Entertained a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you. Todd, let's move on to our little bit late public hearing, 10:15.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. This is the time and place for a public hearing on the issuance of general obligation bonds in connection with the Western Sussex Regional Sanitary Sewer District. Mr. Medlars, the county engineer, is going to make a brief presentation. After that presentation, county council will have an opportunity to question him on that process. Subsequent to that, it will be opened up for any member of the public that would like to address this issue. If you do wish to address the issue, please come to the front to the podium, give us your name and full address, and then sign in, please. Mr. Medlars.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, council members. This is the next step in the Western Sussex District Area Expansion Project, and it is the formal step required by the funding agency, being the State Revolving Fund, to issue the security which goes against the new bond for the project. It also contains the refinancing package of the existing debt carried by the town of Bridgeville at this point. It all will roll into the overall Sussex County debt. And if you remember, the overall financing package also has a $3.2 million loan forgiveness component. So that is, we're only carrying the overall debt for the time of the construction. After that, after we close the project, the loan would be, that amount of the loan would be forgiven. So this is all in accordance with the executed financing agreement, which was signed by our finance director. So this is the, as I said, that is the official formal public hearing required under the law.
Thank you, sir.
Any questions from council? If not, is there any member of the public here today that would like to address this issue? Is there any member of the public that would like to address this issue? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
We'll close the public hearing. Is it okay with council to close the public record? I ask Mr. Moore to read the short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance authorizing the issuance of up to $16,634,748 of general obligation bonds of Sussex County in connection with the Western Sussex Regional Sanitary Sewer District project and authorizing all necessary actions in connection therewith.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yeah, I just one comment and then I'll cast the vote, but I want to thank Hans and the staff because I think it's critical that we continue to move forward with helping those in the western part of the county to connect to our public sewer, to bring new opportunities of commercial mostly to their residents. I think that's something that's really important, and I'm very happy and very pleased to vote yes.
Mr. Burton?
I am in favor and echo Mr. Arlett's comments.
I also like to thank Mr. Medlars and your staff for a lot of hard work, and the engineers from the city of Seaford and the town of Bridgeville. It was a lot of hard work, but I think it was something that was needed to be done. It benefited everybody over there, and it's a good project. I'm going to vote yes, motion carried. Let's go on to the next public hearing. How about that?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President. The next public hearing, Ms. Cornwell will be giving a short explanation to County Council and is for an ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Article XID, Sections 115-83.26, 115-83.27, 115-83.31, and 115 Attachment 4. Sussex County Table 4. And after she has given a short presentation, the council will have an opportunity to question her on the proposed ordinance. Subsequent to that, any member of the public that would like to address this issue may do so by coming forward and giving your name, home address, and then addressing the council. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. Good morning. This proposed ordinance is to amend the new C4 zoning district, which was recently adopted. As we've gone through it, we've been meeting with engineers and developers who've been interested in the implementation of this new zoning district. However, we've realized there's some impediments that have been perceived regarding the new district. So this is to attempt to address those items and to clarify a number of other things that we recognized. Some of them are regarding lot size versus lot area, so we're making that consistent. But the larger item is to recognize the need for, which is what we've heard, increasing the amount of residential permitted within the district as proposed, as it currently stands. A C4, you can do a mixed-use development, but the maximum amount of residential is 20%. So there was concern that that didn't really work. It was not enough residential versus the commercial to have a good resident or good mixed-use development. So we're here before you today for consideration for changing that. The Planning and Zoning Commission did hold a public hearing on October 25th. At that time, they deferred. At their November 15th meeting, they did recommend approval with two recommendations. The first one was to increase the amount of maximum residential development from 25% to 65%, and to for regarding the mixed-use buildings, that those mixed-use buildings not count towards the overall density calculation. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from council?
Yes. Do you have any examples of what 20% would look like and what 60% would look like?
Not off the top of my head, but we can definitely get that. I think a good, some smaller examples, and I don't know the percentages, would probably be those of Five Point and Painter's Mill. Those are both, but those are reversed. Those where you have a lot of residential but very small commercial, and we're trying to do the opposite with the mixed-use buildings, but we don't actually have a development that I'm aware of like that in the county.
What is the total acreage size allowed in a C4?
There is no maximum. The minimum is 3 acres, and it can be a combination of parcels, and that's what this actually fixes. This would allow for multiple parcels as long as they equal 3 acres to be rezoned to the C4 district.
I'd like to see some examples. I just don't know. It's hard to comprehend what the difference is by looking at this change is actually going to do to the to a site, right? Because I just don't know how to figure that. What is 20%? How does that really relate to what's on the ground?
We can get information.
Yeah, I'd like to see
and
that.
We can come up with scenarios.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else from council? Could you real quickly just, you said at the very end, you said something about the mixed did not count towards density?
Yes. So what the code does allow for is a mixed-use building. So you could have the commercial or office on the first or second floor, and then the other floors can be residential. The Planning Commission recommendation was that those apartments on the upper floors not count towards that 65%.
Okay.
Any other questions? If not, is there any member of the public here today that would like to address this issue? Yes, come forward, please. If you give us your full name and address, please.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. My name is Reng Lardner. I'm a professional engineer and principal with the firm Davis Bona Fidel, 1 Park Avenue, Milford, Delaware, 19963. I come here before you this morning as an end user of the current C4 zoning district and proposed modifications. Like some, maybe even most regulations, we don't realize some of the inherent problems that exist until one begins to use them. I'm currently working on several projects that are or intends to use the C4 zoning district. Some are further along than others, and some may be why we are here this morning. I reviewed the purpose note and estates in order to encourage carefully planned large-scale commercial, retail, and mixed-use developments as a means of creating a superior shopping, working, and living environment through unified developments, and provide the application of design ingenuity while protecting existing and future developments and achieving the goals of the comprehensive plan. Each C4 application will be unique in its own location, size, and type of planned commercial community. Mixed-use development could include both a commercial and residential development, or, as Ms. Cornwell just mentioned, residential on top of commercial. Pending the outcome of this ordinance, there are only 2 zoning districts that allow for planned mixed-use development. The RPC has a district threshold that limits commercial 1 acre of land for every 100 homes, and the current C4 zoning district has an 80%, 20% area split, whereas 80% of land area must be commercial, 20% land area could be residential. That's the maximum amount of residential you could have. There is nothing in the middle that would have a more balanced commercial residential split. The C4 zoning district is the perfect opportunity to develop a mixed-use project where a developer could design a commercial office medical park with a residential component that could allow live where you work ability and create moderately priced housing. When I first went to apply the 20% component, I first interpreted it as the number of multifamily dwellings could not be more than 20% of the total area, only to be corrected that the land area cannot be more than 20%. It was then that I soon realized that this split of a project cannot achieve a live where you work and moderately priced housing. So, Mr. Berger, you mentioned an example. I don't have a project specific, but a quick number. If we use a 50-acre parcel, only 20 acres at 20%, did I do the math right? 10 acres could be developed as residential, so only 120 units. 40 acres would be commercial, and we know in 40 acres you can get up to 750,000 square feet of commercial. That may not be appropriate in certain locations, to kind of throw some numbers out there. I'm here in support of the proposed ordinance with the changes as recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission. As most of you are aware, one could fit more commercial development on a piece of land than a residential use. Increasing the residential area does not detract from the purpose of the C4 zoning district, but creates an opportunity to design flexibility that does not exist today. A plan on SR1 will be different than a plan on SR24, than a plan on US113, or an other arterial or collector road. Some parcels may make sense to have more commercial, and other parcels may make sense to have more residential. Without the recommended revision, in order to develop some property, one may have to subdivide that property, apply for different rezonings or conditional uses, which contradicts what this body has asked for, which is more planning of the residual lands. The proposed residential uses could be a combination of apartments, townhouses, duplexes, and our single-family homes surrounding commercial, or it could be, again, like I said, residential on top of commercial. The one other item we know for sure is that a residential component generates less traffic than a commercial component. However, there's one thing that we have proposed to the Planning Commission during the public hearing that they did not make a recommendation that I'd like to, at least for this body, to consider, and that is the ordinance as proposed removes single-family fee simple from being permitted in C4. You can do a single-family house and a multi-family condominium complex. A fee simple subdivision is generally less dense than a condominium or single ownership. In closing, we are in support of the ordinance with the recommended change by the Planning and Zoning Commission, but feel that allowing fee simple subdivisions enable additional flexibility, especially for large parcels. Village of Five Points is almost an example of a C4 indirectly with the single family on the periphery. A site plan is required for the zoning district that allows the council to place conditions just like the RPC. I thank you for your time and can answer any questions that you may have.
Question to council. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Hutt.
Good morning, council. My name is David Hutt. I'm a local attorney here in Georgetown on 107 West Market Street. And I'm going to keep my comments very brief because they're identical to what Mr. Lardner just presented. But similar to him, I'm involved as sort of an end user. I've consulted with several people who are looking forward to being able to use this C4 zoning district. One of the buzzwords in the planning world that we often hear now, and I believe council has considered as part of its comprehensive plan and is looking at another avenues as well, is master planning. And I think the thought process was that the C4 zoning district would allow for that type of master planning, but with the current limitations in the ordinance, it simply does not work. That's not to say that there's not some piece of land somewhere in Sussex County where the current 20%, 80% split might not work. There might be one of those parcels somewhere in the county. However, in order for a zoning classification like this to be a useful tool for the county, which clearly is what was intended and was well intended and needed to allow for master planning, there is a greater flexibility that's needed in the split between residential and commercial. And I would ask echo what Mr. Lardner said about adopting the recommendation from the Planning Commission with respect to the 65%, and in addition support the addition back into the, or not adopting the striking of single family uses in the C4 zoning district. And I'm going to end, I think, with what Mr. Lardner said at one point, which is one of the protections that, or two of the protections that council has in these things, in these applications, is where they can be located. You have to have, be located on our major arterial or collector road. So this isn't going to be on a back road or somewhere where it'd be inappropriate. You're going to have a place where the traffic, it can handle these types of uses, which is the purpose of the large scale commercial retail mixed uses. And the second thing is that you're going to see a site plan. This isn't one of those types of zone, just a change of zone where people wonder what's it actually going to be, because all the permitted uses are available. The applicant will be coming to the Planning Commission and County Council with a site plan, so you have that built-in protection as well. If Council has any questions for me, otherwise those are my comments. Questions?
Just one, Mike, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hutt, what your clientele, and I should have asked the question, where'd he go? There he is. But what are you hearing from your clientele? Are they desiring to do more mixed use? Are they desiring to do more commercial/residential? I mean, what are you hearing?
Sure. Yeah.
And also why?
They're looking for more residential, because there's, generally speaking, and I'll use Mr. Lardner's example, since he did the math for us. But if you had a 50-acre site, and if you could only use 20% of that, which I believe is 10 acres for residential, that's 40 acres of commercial uses, as he indicated. That's a 750,000 square feet of commercial type uses. There are some places where that's appropriate, but I would venture that there's not a whole lot of places where that's appropriate. And so developers and property owners are looking for areas where, or a means of putting more residential with that. And I know council has spent a great deal of time on this in recent months, but those are the places where if you had a commercial use or professional offices. You can get into people who are living right by where they work. You can also, with the density in C4, you have are 12 units to the acre, so you can have apartments. You can get into affordable housing options, and there's greater ability and flexibility. But if the residential is limited to just 20%, then that flexibility is largely gone, because it all has to be some commercial use, which may not be, it may simply be too much commercial for that area. And that's where having the flexibility of a number like the Planning Commission recommended of 65%, that may not be the right number. It may be 45%, it may be 62%, but it would be site specific and probably also specific to what types of commercial uses are being used on the property. If they're commercial retail uses, there might be people who can, like you see at the Villages of Five Points, I would assume that there are people who live in the Villages of Five Points and work in the Villages of Five Points. There might be other uses where that would not be the ability for that may not be there just like that. But again, that's going to be contingent upon the property, its location, and then the types of commercial uses. And when you limit that to 20%, frankly, I've had two people who have just can't presently use the C4 ordinance who had hoped that that would allow them to sort of master plan a parcel that's along an arterial road, but it hasn't come to fruition because of the current split between the commercial and residential.
Questions? Thank you, sir.
Okay, is there anyone else that would like to speak in regards to this? Mr. Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. You know, originally in C1 was, that's actually what C1 was originally made for. If you look in most towns, they have a store, an apartment over top. And I've often wondered, just like take Roses for example, Walmart. How many apartments could you put on top of Walmart if it was permitted? It's not even permitted today, I don't believe, but it should be, because that's how you want to get your, we're only going to allow 12 units because they're using 3 acres here, so we're going to only allow 12 houses on top there. And then, see, that's what C1 originally was all for, was for the people to live, not where they worked, but actually for wherever you could afford to live. And of course, that's a pet peeve of mine anyhow. How can you tell somebody they have to live where they work? They may not be able to afford to live where they work, period. And affordable housing, I seen an article this morning where it says $200,000 is affordable. Man, if that would have been the case in my lifetime, that I'd have had to pay that kind of price, I wouldn't even begin to own anything. Because in my day, of course, I started out $1.50 a day. Now you want to tell me, now today they want $15 an hour? Hey, I don't care what you make. I don't care if you make $8 an hour. If you do it right, you can buy houses and pay for it. Because if you can pay $400, $500, $600, $700, $800, particularly $1,000, you can afford to own it. But in this thing right here, that proves one thing. It's not just this ordinance should be changed, but your entire, all of them, need to go through with a fine-tooth comb and change them. Because you've got so many flaws in these things, it's pathetic.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that I saw a hand go up quickly there?
I didn't sign up, but I can. Rich Barrasso, Sussex Alliance for Responsible Growth. Just two observations based on the two speakers prior to Mr. Kramer, and that is, in the desire to increase residential versus commercial, might the argument be that there is a lack in the need for commercial space? And secondly, I like the thought with regards to potentially, if you do increase the residential space, that it be tied to affordable housing. So potentially, in addressing that zone, maybe there'd be an opportunity to tie in affordable housing to that ratio of increased residential space. Thank you very much.
Before you walk away, Mike, may I? Just, when you say affordable housing, because people have different definitions of what that really means. Right. What do you mean by that? Because affordable housing could just mean you're at a price point, right, that allows more people to be able to participate. Some perceive that to be where there's government, subsidies, right? Mm-hmm. So for you, with your testimony, what do you mean by that specifically?
Well, if I understand everything I've read and heard in Sussex County, the need for housing for people that are of workforce, that can't afford to work and live in Eastern Sussex, whether they be a nurse, a school teacher, service worker. So with that understanding, it would be for housing for workforce that's currently servicing Sussex County, and primarily the big challenge to live and work in Eastern Sussex.
So keep it focused there versus really excluding quote-unquote vacationers and excluding them, because by and large it's for the local families is what you're saying.
Well, it's for the people that work here, whether they're local families or not.
Well, when I say local, I mean living here and working here.
Well, living here today or coming here in the future.
Okay.
So, do I need to sign?
Yes, that? Could you sign up right there?
There's. I went ahead and signed you in.
Oh, you did. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
I saw another hand go up, sir.
Morning, Jeff Stone, Milton, Delaware. Just an observation and a question. The observation is that, and I may be misunderstanding what I'm hearing, but is that this seems to be an effort to take what was to be a commercial zone and change it to more residential zone. And mixed use is great and works well, but mixed use that most people think of, as Mr. Kramer pointed out, is the store with the apartments above it. And mixed use today is not that. That very rarely happens. What you have is Five Points. You have a shopping center surrounded by lots of homes. And the question becomes, is this clear as to what this use is going to be and what the density is going to be? And if you're changing it from 20% to 65%, maybe fine. I just don't quite understand how we need as much more residential than commercial. The second thing I have as a question is, how is the density to be calculated? Janelle said that the 65% would not be included, the planning and zoning recommendation was would not be included in the density calculation. So how would density for an entire parcel be calculated, or am I misunderstanding that?
I think what she said, my question was about density. I think what she said was the recommendation from planning and zoning was, if you have apartments over the commercial, commercial's already on the ground, you got apartments, you don't count the apartments towards the density of the land.
Okay. I appreciate that clarity. That works. Yeah. But not the Five Points example where it's a shopping center surrounded.
No. If it's the residential is above the commercial.
Yeah.
The commercial already got the footprint. You don't count that over again.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to address this issue? Is there anyone else? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing today. I do recall that Mr. Burton had asked a question and asked for some additional information from staff. So The public hearing is closed, and
we'll close the public hearing and leave public record open for Mr. Burton. You have something you want to?
Yeah, I'd like staff just to give me some examples on, you know, that's a big swing from 20 to 65. What's that look like on the plan?
Okay. Can that be done within next week or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that okay? We would. I guess the motion would be to leave it open for them to respond back to us.
Correct.
Only for that.
Correct.
And then to defer it till next Tuesday.
Can I ask a question, Mike?
Certainly you can.
The record's been closed, but could you provide a little bit more clarification with regard to the density piece not being included for stuff that is above or attached? Could you provide a little bit more explanation for that, please?
I think the concern was to provide, to make sure there was ability to have the apartments and the mixed-use buildings and not have that count towards the overall 65%. So you could have up to 65% of the property be some type of residential, condos, apartments, townhouses, duplexes, but those apartments that are literally in the mixed use not count towards that 65%. So there's, I think there was discussion about providing maybe a potential for a more live-work facilities. Potentially those could be more affordable, those types of items. And that's why they did not want to count that towards the overall 65% density.
I think I understand what you're saying, because if you didn't do that, then if you built a thing where it was the 65% wherever you had and the commercial was there, you're not even counting anything for commercial. If they all had apartments above them.
Right, or if
you... And you counted the apartments, then there's no count at all for the density of the commercial, and there's no commercial included in the calculation.
Right, the commercial would be much less.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I can see it go both ways. I mean, at the same time, I mean, if you're not including it in some capacity, in some formula, right, then, you know, your overall density, quote unquote, within that project could be 80% or, you know what I mean, or 90%. So I think, to me, it would make sense what we find something whereas there's a combination thereof. I don't think we have to reinvent the wheel here in Sussex County. I think there's plenty of places in this country. I can come to one immediately. I mean, that are beachy areas, that are rural areas, that have these mixed uses out there. I think we should just look and reach to them, see what they have done successfully, right, and not try to reinvent, but perhaps duplicate something that's been very successful already. That would be a suggestion, a recommendation to IG's point.
And this would be similar to others.
And you know, our older son used to live down in Wilmington, North Carolina, and the Wilmington, Wrightsville Beach area is an area whereas they have these mixed uses. You know, I've been in these areas, and that is an area off the cuff that is immediately comes to attention. You still have a small beach town, but you've also got quote unquote a city, Wilmington. But I think again there are areas of opportunity to reach to get some good examples. But to me it would make sense whereas there is a combination thereof or some type of a formula, because otherwise you could get upwards of an 80 or 90%, and is that really what the goal is? So
we can definitely look into that. I would also note that this is, when this application comes in, they will have a site plan that will have to be reviewed and eventually approved by the county council.
Right. But let me, because I'm following up on Rob. You done?
Are you done?
Yeah.
So the application comes in, and it's got 65% residential. But it would have a, and that equates to a density number somewhere below 12.
12 or below, yes.
Right. But in reality, you could have 35% commercial with units above that.
Right.
So to your point, that would increase the 12 to another number.
It could.
And with an application like that comes in, do we have the ability to condition it?
Yes.
So it's not a zoning change on the parcel it's a zoning change on the parcel with conditions.
Yes, this is a zoning change with site plan approval that you can place conditions upon.
And is the site plan approval at the time of presentation?
Or the conceptual site plan would be, it's very similar to a residential plan community. You are seeing that conceptual site plan, which is more of a more detailed conceptual site plan. There might things move here and there, but you are approving that mix of residential, commercial, office, commercial at the time of the change of zone application.
But we would then be approving the formula, not necessarily the site plan, because the site plan moves.
Well, only if you change what they propose, which is typical with any RPC. It's just like any RPC, you're seeing that site plan at the time of the change of zone application. And you can condition the application. So if you believe like the density is too high, or the residential portion is too high, you can condition that it needs to be a different number, and then they will revise that plan accordingly to the condition of approval.
But if this, it would be hard to say to condition something that's at 65, right? I mean, that's if we adopt this code, you would be, hey, I'm hitting a goal.
It's up to 65%, but again, this comes with a site plan, which gives discretion to Planning Commission and a final with County Council.
Okay, because with planning and zoning, the proposal's done, right? And it's approved or denied, but if it's approved, then the site plan comes months later. And what you're saying is the site plan would be introduced as a document at time of the public hearing.
Yes, just like an RPC that you're going to see, the change of zone and the site plan are coming at the same time. They'll have a good conceptual plan, partially a preliminary site plan going, this is what we want to do. You'll either recommend it as submitted, or you'll make changes, and then it'll go through the site plan process. And again, we will make sure it complies with the conditions of approval and what was approved by County Council.
Okay, because we approved Americana Bayside, right?
Yes.
And it comes with a number. And then throughout the year, the number changes, right? They're going to do so many condos and so many houses. And as long as the total number stays the same, we look at that favorably, right?
Yes. So typically what council has done in the past is go, here's your overall number. You can have so many townhouses, so many condos, so many apartments, so many single family. And then they have the ability to work within that. If it's a significant change, and again, all of those site plans go back to the Planning Commission, they update their master plan to show any changes. That site plan gets re-reviewed by staff and then the commission, and we make sure it's in compliance with the conditions that have been approved. And you can always make one of those conditions, you know, however you want. If you wanted to, if it's a significant change, we typically take things back to the commission for them to determine whether or not a new public hearing is warranted.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, I think that was one of the things we were concerned and council asked when we started this whole commercial process, mm-hmm. was the ability in some districts to approve the site plan. I mean, we saw it first, not after the fact. When it goes to planning and zoning, we never see a site plan. A lot of things, you know, just how that system works. But we could see the site plan at presentation.
Right.
This is what works. This is what we're going to do.
But if the top units are not in the formula, and you change the formula, right? Then mm-hmm. you weren't counting them before, and are you counting them with the change? I don't know, we'll work it out, but it's
sure. No, it's a good question.
It's yeah. with Americana Bayside, it was X number of units,
right?
And then one of them fell out of favor with product, right? I don't, we want to build single families, not condos. So as long as their number stays the same, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But we counted each one of them where we wouldn't be counting the ones on top.
On top, yeah. Yeah. I see. They both have valid points. I mean, but I think
the concern
when we did this thing way back whenever was the council wanted some districts that we would have some ability to see a site plan up front.
Right.
That's, yeah.
I almost think that they just have to be somehow included. To me, it makes no sense otherwise, in some capacity, as a some formula or as a certain percent, you know, something. But, you know, to not include potentially a massive amount of homes in a decision, in a calculation, makes no sense to me.
So they wouldn't be counted towards the 65%, but they would definitely still have a maximum of 12 units to an acre. So you could parcel them out and make sure that, you know, you're doing apartments over on top of something, but they don't go over the 12 units to the acre. They just don't count towards the 65% residential.
So the number above count towards the total number?
It wouldn't count towards... You could split the density calculation going, my density calculation for the 65% is this, and then the density, we can make sure that it works for a density calculation wise for the 12 units to the acre, so they're not getting over 12 units to the acre, because there's nothing in the code that allows them to do that. It's just the residential don't count towards the 65% residential portion.
Okay. So what we're going to do now is you're going to do some research on Mr. Arlett's question
and
on Mr. Burton's question. And we're going to take away the next Tuesday because it might take you longer than to get other stuff. I don't know that. So we're just going to...
And it might be for next year when I'm not here. But nonetheless, the legacy will continue.
We will leave the record open for those two answers.
But we'll get that information.
But if I may, but just one more point to that is to reaffirm. The 65% is more so based on land...
Yes.
Correct? Land. And then up to 12 units per acre is obviously is the density piece.
Correct.
The dwellings, does it have to be above or can it be attached? Just to clarify.
The way the mixed use is, it's above.
Okay, so that's fine. So above. The units that are above the commercial, it's not included in the 65, but you're saying it is included in the up to 12 units per acre?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Because I think we were of the opinion earlier that it was not. So you're saying now it is.
We could do it either way because the recommendation doesn't address nothing. The code still says 12 units to the acre. You can't go over 12 units to the acre. It's just in the 65% area. Those units don't count towards that 65%. So you could have two density calculations and depends on how they work it out.
It might be good to bring us back something that shows
examples.
That too.
Right.
So we're not totally confused.
Just partially.
I think it'd be a, I'm sorry.
I'll go say then, so we've got those two questions. Now, Mr. Moore, I'm gonna ask you this question. Hearing what the two questions are that we want to see, would there be need, the public records will be open for those two answers.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get the answers and close public record then. Would there be need to allow then the public time to comment on those answers, or we don't need that, I think? Considering what the questions are.
You certainly could indicate that there would be a period of time that they would be held open for the purpose of anyone commenting in writing to those. In light of the questions, the specific questions, I'm not sure if that's necessary. You're just asking for information from the staff.
Okay, that's fine.
In this case. And what would be appropriate would be, you know, if that's your decision, that I read the short title and then a motion be to keep the record open for those questions and then to defer it, you know, until those questions are answered.
Mr. Burton, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, so will the public get to review what Janelle is going to present?
That was what the question was.
My question. That's up to you guys. Up to the council.
Yeah.
But if we close the record, they can't.
No, what we're doing right now, we are definitely keeping the record open until she comes back with the information. And if council desires, you could add additional time so the public would have an opportunity to comment in writing based on what she presents here. And give a certain date, you know, 10 days after or whatever.
And not knowing what we're going to get back and look at, I guess the next question would be, was it possible to leave the record open for those answers and then we get those answers to then determine if we want to leave the record open after that for the public to comment, or we don't think we need to?
We have not done it that okay. way in the past, and since I've been counsel, I do not recall ever a case of that occurring. Normally, we do it at the time okay. that you defer. So, you know, to be safe, you may want to add a week or 10 days after you get the questions. Of course, knowing in this circumstance, that would put us into the next year.
Correct.
Does it have to be in writing? Is that what, why?
Yes. Oh, that's
yes. Previously, we've always said when we get the record and close the record, the public can, or anybody can make yeah. comment up to X number of days in writing. Yeah. Don't come back in here and present it verbally. Yeah. So it's up to you. We need a motion to defer it. And right. the question is going to be if you want the record left open after we close our record for the public to comment on that.
But we don't have to do that
today.
We're going to defer yeah. it today.
Yes.
For her.
Right. And then we have to decide today if we're going to leave the record open after we get the information back and close our part of it for the public to comment for X number of days in writing. That's whatever you want to do.
We are definitely going to be into the next year.
Yes, correct.
So if we do that.
How do we figure that? How does that figure into this formula? Because we only have...
How it figures into the formula is that, this is my understanding, we have two more meetings. So the 11th, we're done. This council is, in essence, done. And January, there are two more people. If the record's left open, I'm sure it would take past the 11th of December for the public to comment, then that means in January, the three members of council who are left would vote.
But he's not going to be.
That's correct. I said the three members who are left would vote.
Meaning you.
Two new people have no vote.
Okay, me and Mike.
Right.
That means Mr. Wilson, myself, would then vote on the ordinance. And those two members would not unless we did the whole process all over again.
Right.
Unless, are the new members able to review that record?
No.
You cannot.
Okay.
No, they're not members of council.
Okay.
Only people can vote on that are members of council at the time we have the hearing.
That's right. And typically it would be a case where Mr. Wilson would indicate that he had heard the public record or the record in the hearing and then, you know, vote.
So I guess the answer may would be, could you get both questions answered by next Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay. And if we did that, then we could leave the record open
till
the following Monday or whatever, mm-hmm. and then do something on the 11th.
We could vote at that point.
Yes.
And that way the
council would be cleaner.
Existing council would
vote. That would be the right.
Sure. That is much cleaner.
Sure. Okay.
So the motion would be, after I'd read the short title, would be to keep the public hearings closed, keep the record open for 1 week for Ms. Cornwell to provide information, the answers to the questions by the two council persons, and then to the following Monday.
Monday, close the business.
Close the business. Any member of the public can respond in writing, and then Ms. Cornwell would give a report at that last meeting of the year as to what came in, and then at that point it would be okay to vote on.
Okay. Everybody's okay. Everybody's on board with that?
Yes.
Okay. So you'll read the short title, Mr. Moore, and then motion.
An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Article XID, Sections 115-83.26, 115-83.27, 115-83.31, and 115, Attachment 4, Sussex County, Table 4.
Move to, are you done?
Move to defer and to keep the record open for Ms. Cornwell next meeting to bring the answers to the questions that were posed by Mr. Arlett and Mr. Burton, and then the record to remain open to the following Monday at 4:30 for any member of the public to give a written response or comment, and then Ms. Cornwell will report that at the December 11th meeting, and it could be voted on at that point.
And then motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Sam and George, if you're listening, get going.
Yeah. Get